Hello, this is Sheila Bender, and you are listening to In Conversation, Discussions on Writing and the Writing Life. Today we have with us in the studio Port Townsend resident Virginia Thompson. She comes with a long history of being involved in a project called Family Math, which resulted in books, which we'll talk about. She began her career teaching maths, with an S as they said it, at the French convent in Hull, England. Then she annotated and connotated statistics scripts at the University of Hull, and really she says that means being a TA, but they have that term, annotated and connotated. She then edited statistical papers for Statistics Department at the UC Berkeley. She taught discovery math in San Francisco in the East Bay at the elementary schools. She was a math resource teacher in the East Bay schools. She edited math education books, and she worked with minority students to help maintain their presence in science-based majors at UC Berkeley. Her career goes on from that, teaching as part of the Equal staff at the Lawrence Hall of Science in UC Berkeley, a program dedicated to encouraging girls and students of color to continue taking math courses through high school. And then she came into the Family Math Project. So we're going to turn our attention to hearing about that history. And welcome, Virginia.
Thank you.
I'm really glad you've come. You live on my circle at Cape George Colony, and I have in the background of my head known that maybe there was a book to do with math, but I kind of compartmentalized that into Virginia knows math. Oh. Sheila doesn't know math. Sheila knows writing. And when I found out about the books, I became very excited about having you here and helping us learn how you write a book from what you know and what you've experienced. And it goes out beyond you to many, many people that you never could have reached personally, although you reached quite a few personally.
We sold over 500,000 of these first Family Math books.
And you say first because now there are
four.
And just quickly, what is the difference among the four? They're directed differently.
The first one is for kindergartner through sixth grade. The second one was, we called it Family Math, the middle school years for junior high age. Then we had Family Math for young children, sort of preschool up to kindergarten. And then Family Math 2, we couldn't resist going on.
And you went on to...
So we started a program. First thing we did was go and try out our activities, mainly in Richmond School District near in the East Bay. And then we decided that we couldn't do enough ourselves. So we asked our teachers who were working with us in Equals to come to workshops to learn about how to work with their parents in their schools. And then we realized some of the parents could come too. We're doing so well, we traveled all around the country, and people wanted to continue their own programs, and we couldn't keep traveling, so we would prepare other people to lead Family Math classes. Right. That way it spread. That's why we sold so many books. But one thing that's interesting about the books, if you buy a copy of the book, you can make copies of any of the activities and give them to people. You cannot make copies and sell them, but the copyright says that you can make copies and give them to people, so you can give them to the parents.
Right. I'm so happy to hear that, because that's how teachers work. Teachers want to teach. Teachers want their teaching to spread. And one of the best ways is with handouts that people can refer to and use. So it's another form of spreading the word through writing. And I know that you're prepared to read from one of the books, and I think it would be good to read now because I know it's an introduction to what Family Math is.
For many years, the Equals program at the Lawrence Hall of Science at the University of California, Berkeley, has worked with teachers who wanted to improve mathematics teaching and learning in their classrooms and schools, providing activities and methods to help students succeed in mathematics, especially females and students of color. The Equals program has three strands: awareness, confidence, and encouragement. Teachers and students are made aware of the need for mathematics and the options for young people. Confidence is built by providing strategies for success in mathematics. Encouragement involves motivating students to continue studying mathematics and to consider a wide variety of careers. Many of the teachers who came to the program asked us to give them ideas and materials for parents to use at home to help their children. They told us that parents were frustrated in not knowing enough about the children's math program to help them, or not understanding what was going on in the current math program. We thought we could do something about this by creating a separate program, Family Math, that would focus entirely on parents and children learning mathematics together. a grant from the Fund for the Improvement of Postsecondary Education from the U.S. Department of Education, gave us the time and money to develop our ideas and test them out in a number of communities with families from inner cities, suburbs, and rural areas. This book is a result of the many years of work providing family math courses. And then we talk about what goes on in the course. And one thing is problem-solving skills. By that, we mean ways in which people learn how to think about a problem using such strategies as looking for patterns, drawing a picture, working backwards, working with a partner, or eliminating possibilities. Having a supply of strategies allows a choice of ways to start when you're first looking at a program, relieving the frustration of not knowing how or where to begin. The more strategies you have, the more confident you become, and the more willing you are to tackle new problems, and the better you will solve the problems. By hands-on materials, we mean concrete objects, the blocks, beans, pennies, toothpicks, that are used to help children understand what numbers and space mean, and to help us all solve problems. Traditionally, these materials are used mostly in the early years, but we find that it's very useful even for older students and parents to use them. They help us think better.
I wish I had family math taught to me. I'm a casualty of the traditional math and then the new math.
And the memorization.
Yes.
Emphasis.
So I was transferred into new math because my school district in New Jersey took it on. And then I moved to North Shore, Chicago, and they weren't doing new math, but I had been doing it for like 3 years. So there was a big gap for me in traditional math. And then after a year, I moved back and missed out on whatever new math was happening. And I really understand what you read about strategies. If math is just memorization, you don't have strategies.
Right, and you go blank.
Right, and I watch my two grandsons, who are now 14 and 17, but when they were younger and they saw how poor my math skills were and how few strategies I had, they began writing worksheets called Math for Grandma.
Oh, very good. Congratulations.
And, maybe it could become a book someday. So it's an exciting thing that you identified this problem and then, as a project, identified that these parents, well, allowed them the space to come and say, we can do something too, or we'd like to. And that evolved into the books, right? It was directly from the parents.
Yes, because we gave handouts to them. And then as we wanted to help other people prepare to teach their classes, they needed something rather than a few loose papers.
So it was a combined effort of helping parents and helping the teachers.
Yes.
So how does that work? I can see illustrations in your book that look like mazes or charts, or some of them look like cartoons.
Yes. One of the questions you asked was, what was a challenge for the book? And one thing was, it was a challenge, but it didn't last very long, finding a good artist. And she was amazing. I think she tried every activity, because when you look at the art, it relates to the activity. It's not just a cartoon that's thrown in.
Can you describe one of those and how it relates?
I just opened the book to something for young children called Animal Crossing. You have to make your way across a board without bumping into the fences. And there's a picture of a big elephant and the baby elephant hanging onto the tail of the mother. So it's like the animal is going to cross somewhere. And then there's something called Balloon Ride, and she's got a picture of the balloon. And that's more straightforward for what you would come up with.
They're fun illustrations.
Yes, she had lots of fun.
Right. So before we go along any further, I'm sure some people who have children who need math lessons are listening. And your advice would be to order the book Family Math, or to get online and read about
one
would be.
Well, and I think the university is not printing it anymore. And I just went online before I came, and you can find $25 books. But if you don't mind a used one, I think I found some between $2 and $5. So if you hunt around, you don't have to pay a lot.
Yeah, so teachers or homeschooling parents could certainly then make lots of copies from what you're saying and give them away.
Yes, and we had a lot of support from homeschoolers.
Uh-huh. So, okay, back to the book. I just knew that people were already excited and want to know how to find it and use it. From the two illustrations you just showed me as you opened the book, I see that in the early days, a foundation is not necessarily numbers.
You're right. There's a lot of topics, and we talk about measurement, geometric thinking, logical thinking, problem solving, We even have some use of calculators, and that was a long time ago, so people were maybe turning their nose up at it. And then we do have lots of number practice. Also, we have, not so much in the book, but we always encourage people in their classes to bring someone in to talk about their careers. And when I first started, I was lucky enough to get some of the students I had in Richmond who were now at the university to come and talk about why they decided they wanted to have math. I want to be a dentist. You have to have math. I want to be a real estate agent. That takes math, too. So they shared with the families why it was important to continue taking math.
I think it's an amazing project because I know how I struggled with math and how there's so much literature about how girls stop dealing well with math at a certain age. And just the idea that you need the skill in order to have a world of opportunity open to you. So one of the things that you did in terms of opportunity is, if I'm remembering something you told me a while ago, the university didn't print the first copies of the book.
It was printed by the University Press, but since Equals had published other books, so we knew how to prepare and edit the book, and we just handed them all the pages that they could print. They didn't have to do any editing. We did all of that, and that made it possible for us to get money back on the books.
So they published it, but they didn't have to put too many funds into the creation.
No, it was totally prepared.
Right. So do you remember the time frame from when you actually started the project to the time that the first book was available?
Probably about 5 years, 5 or 6 years. But we didn't really start working on the book. Maybe we worked on the book 2 or 3 years because we were just doing the program beforehand.
Mm-hmm. It's a long process, really. I mean, but your book shows how we can take a passion area, a career area, group with other people, work the information, make sure it works, and then write from it and create something very valuable.
Yes, so. And it was built on the basis of things that Equals had done, but also what I had been doing in the schools. When I worked in the schools as a resource teacher, many of the parent aides would come and help in the room, and I would teach them activities to do in small groups. And I had a sneaky feeling they were taking them home to their kids because they thought they were good. And that's why I said, when they asked, who wants to do something with parents? I said, oh, there's thousands of things. Guess who got to do it?
That idea that a family is happy to be doing this together. Do you have some anecdotal accounts of how families did it?
I saw them more when they were in the classes because I wasn't their classroom teacher. And just different things I can say. I can remember in one situation, one person came with her children the day she got out of the hospital for something. She thought it was so important.
Oh.
And others sent their children with another local neighbor if they had to work at night. So they really wanted it to happen. And the encouraging thing was that it was helping them see that if you say to your child, math was hard for me too, sort of like, it's okay, why do they try? Why should they try? Whereas if they came to Family Math and we could say, it is a challenge, but you can say to your child, it's really important and here's some fun things you can do.
You are listening to In Conversation, Discussions on Writing and the Writing Life with Sheila Bender on KPTZ 91.9 FM, Port Townsend. Today, Sheila is speaking with Virginia Thompson about her long-term book series, Family Math, its inception and its success.
What occurs to me is we're told as parents, read to your children, read to your children,
yes.
Read to your children. I don't think we're told, do math with your children. Do math with
right.
your children.
Right, and it's in the book. We talk about it. You take your kids to the library.
Uh-huh.
So you need to do something mathematical for them, too. And sometimes cooking with measurements, that helps. And just going outside, counting steps. There's lots of things you can do, and we were trying to build on things that would be easy to do at home.
So you have two books in front of you here. You read from one of them, and then there's a second one that you told me there are several of these books, and
yeah.
You wrote three of the four that are...
Right, and I did almost all the writing in the Family Math for the activities and for the middle school. And then there was a Family Math too. Unfortunately, one of my younger colleagues got interested, and she did a lot of the writing for the Family Math too. And we had one copy, Family Math for Young Children, and I'm not an early childhood person, so two of my colleagues who are experts in that wrote that book.
What were, if there were any, obstacles between the practice of teaching people and making up the games and putting it together as a book?
I was thinking it's sort of like poetry. You really want to pick your words carefully and clearly. You don't want to have over descriptions. You want, if you're going to do the activity, you want to be straightforward. And what we did is we were careful. We had a consistent format, and it gave you the grade level, and it told you why you would do this activity. It gave you directions, and then it told you hints. And it was always in the same format, so you could find things quickly once you got used to it, with a range of grade levels. So you could do anything you wanted to, but if you wanted to start out, it would tell you where to aim, which activities.
I like that idea about how the structure of the book, repeating the way the information is being told, gave the audience to the book something to hang on to and expect and not get all flustered about how are they going to do this next thing. I imagine you had some sort of warm and confident tone in the book.
I hope so. I think just being straightforward and not making up really big words. It's translated into Spanish also. And the Spanish writer was a very accomplished writer and knew lots of big words in Spanish. And I had to keep saying, Jorge, no, we need to have this direct and simple. And I knew enough Spanish to tell when he was getting carried away.
And you told me something interesting about the difference between math and something about the Spanish word for mathematics.
Oh, yeah. The Spanish book is called Matemática para la Familia. Most people would say matemáticas, but Jorge said mathematics is like God. It is singular.
Oh.
He was biased, I think.
Yes, but I think science would tell us that, too. People think the math is the basis of our incredible universe.
There's a quote, I think it's from Gauss, mathematics is the queen of sciences.
Queen and God and very lofty positions.
Very important, yeah. And it can be fun. Right.
So this is a kind of strange question, even though these are geared for young children. If there are older adults who feel very deficient, like when it comes time, you know, now we can make a tip just by seeing in the program on the iPad.
Yeah, or even on your bill, they give you hints.
Exactly. Would adults without children or maybe with grandchildren have a good time doing the basics?
I think they would. If they look at the family math book, they might want to look for the 4th through 6th grade level. But the middle school book would be interesting. And the middle school book really does teach a lot, because in the beginning book, it's more things that you probably had at school, arithmetic and a lot of maybe not probability and statistics, but a lot of things you've already had, whereas the middle school is beginning to introduce you to more ideas about algebraic thinking and graphing. So you could learn a lot, and it's fun, not hard. You might want some graph paper instead of just your iPhone.
Okay. I did ask you this question by email about the possibilities of a project, maybe the younger people taking it over, of creating apps for phones and tablets and computers that would help kids play the games.
As I understand, I am not an app expert by any means, but I think you could develop the programs that people could play back and forth. Some of the games are rather short, so I don't know if that would keep the interest or whether they just want to play them again. And some of the things where you would be taking squares and moving them around, I assume now you can do that on your phone.
I think so.
So
yeah.
You probably could do it.
So it would take someone interested in carrying the project
someone
forward.
Someone who understands the programming part.
Yeah, yeah. But because there's so much distance in our lives, you know, parents who travel, kids who go away to summer camp, it could even be a way that families stay connected.
Well, and I was thinking maybe they could Skype and do things.
Probably, yes. I think that it might be fun even for an adult to go to the kindergarten level.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's fun. It's fun.
And rehearse, yeah.
Well, especially if you have grandchildren to play with. And it's fun and interesting, and there could be something special that they did with their grandparents.
Yes. Too bad mine are old enough to be way above me in math. They think I'm pretty funny. We play, well, card games. Is that, do you have some
card
of that?
Card games, that's logical thinking. So it's very good.
So do you mention card games in the books?
I think we do. I haven't looked at these books for a while. But really, we do some things. We have an interesting one where you have 10 cards numbered 1 to 10, and you hold them in your hand face down, and you turn up one card, and you want that to be a 1. You put one underneath. You turn up the next card, and you want that to be a 2, and so on through. So you have to figure out how to arrange the cards so the 1, 2, 3 comes up in order.
Okay.
That's not, I don't know, you could call that a card game.
Well, it's using cards as a prop for learning, and it sounds kind of fun. I wish I had known about family math when my grandkids were little, but maybe I'll adopt a few and learn some better math with them. That's one of the most exciting things to me, besides that it's about math, is the way it encourages the adults to interact with the kids, yes, rather than say the thing you said, which is, see, I'm okay. I don't know math, but I'm fine. I know in my own life, I've developed some workarounds, basically. How can I do a good life without knowing too much math?
Yeah. You can't.
Well, all right. That'll have me rethinking my entire life. But no, I know how much it would be enhanced if I did understand math.
As far as work, it gives you a lot more choices and a lot of things that you wouldn't think.
Right. I guess that's why I'm a writer.
Yeah, which is good. We need good writers, too.
But as one of my friends said, she said, I must have recruited all of my math brain cells to my verbal
brain cells. To take them over to.
Right. Well, it's possible. But what I think it's the difficulty in learning when these programs were interrupting me, mm-hmm, but also that there was a big reliance just on memorizing.
Right.
And it sounds like these books are teaching people not to memorize, but to perform operations.
Right, or to think about things. We have one thing where we'll give you the number 24, and can you tell me two numbers that multiply together give you 24? So it's really, you're doing cards, but it's reverse, where you have to think of different pairs of numbers that work.
It's a good thing to be able to do it in your head, which is something hard for me. I do it with a pencil on paper. I never really felt comfortable with a calculator, but I know that that's because that's how I learned, by writing it down.
Well, and I like prefer to write things down in a way.
Sometimes
it's easier
then
for me. In fact, years ago, one of my math professors said, mathematicians don't do arithmetic. So I think he used a pencil and paper. They do mathematics, which is different than just straight numbers.
Tell me a little bit more about that and how the book approaches that.
Most people think of math as arithmetic, so there's a lot of arithmetic in it. But then about the time you were in school, they started expanding the subjects, and they did more, even for young kids, more geometrical activities, stuff about probability. If you roll a die, what's the chance of getting what number? If you roll one die, you're more likely to get a 6 because it's bigger. I don't think so. But if you roll 2 dice, what are the chances? Which one is likely to come up more often? And you can make a little graph that shows you that 7 is the one that's going to come up more, because there's no way to add up to 7 on 2 separate dice. Take a red one and a green one and roll them and check it out.
Wow, I think I might have to open up a game that I have stored away.
Okay.
Roll the dice. You're in retirement, but you're still really, really excited about this program.
Yes.
So how do you stay connected to it?
A little bit. This was not so recently, but one of the most exciting things that ever happened to me was we had already gone around and prepared other people to teach classes, and we went to Chula Vista, California, and these were Spanish-speaking parents. I'm not sure how many of them had even graduated from high school, and they were teaching their family math classes, matematica classes, and I went to a math conference, and they came running up, Ms. Thompson, we are teachers now.
Aww.
And that was because of the woman in Chula Vista, not really because of me, but their boss saw they were interested and helped them get through get their degrees.
So, but they're grateful to you for starting the whole program. That's very exciting. What would you advise for people who are writing in a field that they don't usually think about writing a book about? What would be some advice from your long period of time writing these books and dealing with producing them and having people use them and spreading the word? What should we do if we have a passion area and we go, yeah, that would make a good book, but not just because it would make a good book, because I really want people to know how to do this?
Well, we started out by first trying out the activities with people ourselves so we could understand how they responded. Then we would write things up, and we gradually worked into, as I said, a simple format so that it was easy to pick up one page and it would be similar to the other so you could follow things. Now, I think that's sort of the gist of it.
I think that you got right to the essence, which is, as you're involved in the topic, creating a way to communicate that to other people. And part of that was, you've said a few times now, a structure that people could rely on and not feel overwhelmed that they were constantly getting into a new way of learning, but that they could just continue with what the format was and expect to increase their abilities.
Yeah, think about the cookbooks that you like or you find easy to use. Mm-hmm. Many of them have a very similar format, or the cooking magazines, you know, have similar formats. So I think...
A recipe for math.
Yes, this is a recipe for math.
Yeah, excellent. I really hope, Virginia, that I actually look at these books and practice some math to increase my abilities. Puzzles have not appealed to me. I'm sure that's connected to math, right? Nicely, puzzles in there. And people do word games like Scrabble, Sudoku, mm-hmm. all those things. Those are also probably pretty good for exercising math strategies.
Yes.
Patterns.
Yeah. Yes.
Do we have a family math program going on here in Port Townsend?
Not that I know of. I did teach the homeschoolers at one point, but several people I've met have used family math, but most of them are retired. And I think that some people just take the book and they use activities in their classrooms. And I know that that could have been going on at, it's now Salish, their math resource teacher, I think, often used that type of activity.
Well, maybe when our program airs, more people will know about it and get interested.
I hope so.
So that would be a great purpose for having you on the program.
And remember, you can get a cheap copy if you hunt around on the web. You don't have to pay $25.
So what you're going to be looking for when you hunt around is Family Math and other books that are called Family Math at different editions.
Yeah.
And then ultimately Family Math, the middle school years.
Right.
Okay. So you can find that on Amazon?
I just Googled Family Math and there were all sorts of different places.
Oh, great. Okay.
And I think Amazon may have had the used ones for one of the cheaper amounts.
So just Google Family Math and they're going to find you. And remember, Virginia Thompson.
Well, but I'm not the first author because
we're
going alphabetical. Stenmark is
But in the hunt.
There's only one Family Math.
Yes. Oh, really? Okay. Well, and then I want to thank you, Virginia Thompson, for being here and for talking to us about the importance of math and the importance of writing about it. Thanks very much.
You're very welcome.
In Conversation is produced by Sheila Bender and edited by Charlie Fleischman.